With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. A cross between ZZ Top and Sherlock Holmes. You're with Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
That's right. You got a metalhead on the mic. Hesher here. Thanks for joining me for this show. Today in the second hour, Dr. Carol Lieberman will be rejoining me. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Carol on the show. We'll be talking about the red wave that wasn't the red wave that many say was subverted. Can the red wave ever happen again? Stay tuned and we'll see what Dr. Carol thinks. I don't think it can happen again without some major reform and holding people responsible for participating in and allowing the corruption of the U.S. voting system to get this bad. Government, politicians, and media think you're stupid. They think you're so stupid that you can't do simple legal, political, and journalistic tasks and think for yourself. Well, it's not easy, but it's not hard either to read, listen to, and watch everything you can on the current state of lawfare, mail-in ballots, dirty registries, ballot stuffing and harvesting, V-drive loss. You know what the V-drive is? Oh, well, it's just the vote. It's just the vote. Don't worry, right? The vote machine. Vote machines out there in places like Delaware County, Pennsylvania, they just lose V drives for a while. There's a no chain of custody. So they lost the vote and then refound the vote. What does that tell you? Logic tests on the computers not being performed. The LNA tests on the computers not being performed. Cybersecurity posture, thumb drives being moved around, dead voters, dead candidates, computer problems at Republican polling centers, broken pipes, wrong paper, no paper, you're not in the registry. But the person born in 1892 is definitely registered to vote. Mail-ins have totally destroyed the ability for runoff votes. Records purging destroyed the ability for recounts. So will there be a red wave ever again? If these things are not resolved and people are not held accountable for this sort of chicanery, then there will never be another red wave. We have a one-party system now. That's my analysis. And if there is ever a red wave and these things are not addressed, you can bet that that red wave is inorganic. It is being done on purpose and out of convenience for those that wish to fundamentally change the United States of America. So anyways, we'll be talking about that, and I think she's got some practical ideas about how to be a good conservative, because let's face it, being a good Republican is an oxymoron at this point. It's just the only power party conservatives have left, but that party has completely dropped the ball. Moscow condemns U.S. reaction to execution of Russian POWs. I don't know if you folks saw this video out there. It's disturbing, to say the least. The Russian embassy in Washington has said that the U.S. is enabling Ukrainian neo-Nazis to act with impunity by downplaying evidence of their atrocities, adding that the U.S. officials risk blowback from this policy. The statement released on Monday came in response to comments made by Beth Van Schaack, the U.S. Ambassador at Large for Global Criminal Justice, about videos of the summary execution of Russian soldiers captured by Ukrainian troops. The clip apparently shows the Russians surrendering and laying down on the ground. Another shows what looks like a Russian soldier appearing at the scene and discharging his firearm. The final clip is of Russian troops laying on the ground in pools of blood, apparently dead from gunshots to the head. Ukraine claims that the videos show a false surrender by the Russians with the intention of taking their captors by surprise. Van Schaack seemed to downplay the incident, stating that, quote, when we're looking at the sheer scale of criminality exhibited by Russian forces, it's enormous compared to the allegations that we've seen against Ukrainian forces. Okay, but the U.S. official failed to provide any evidence of violent acts allegedly committed by our servicemen, the Russian embassy said. Her remarks fit with Washington's general callous attitude toward the deaths of Russian troops and exemplified American double standards at their finest. One last quote here. Isn't it clear that the United States enables permissiveness and impunity for neo-Nazis in Ukraine by covering up the frenzy of Ukrainian bandits, by condoning the crimes of the Kiev regime and ignoring them? Washington supports murderers. One must always remember, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. Okay, end quote right there. So Moscow sounding the alarm about this footage circulating on social media last Friday, and the Russian Defense Ministry claimed that murdering POWs was a widespread practice for Kiev's forces, which, you know, you got to maybe put some credence in that after seeing how they treated the citizens of Kherson, taking people and zip tying them to light poles and stuff like this. This seems to be how they roll over there, apparently. All right. Well, at TNT Radio, we never go home, and we are committed to bring you our take on the biggest topics of our time. You know, we broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we got you covered on TNT Radio.
At the risk of being canceled,
it's a battle for free speech against the left.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Apparently, there is some laptop data out there circulating, and they claim it belongs to Hunter Biden. This is pretty wild. Here to discuss this is a factual, if this is factual, is TNT news producer John Matlin. John, what's going on? Is this factual?
Oh my, Hesher, I don't know if anyone knows this, but you may have heard about this disinformation that laptop that's been circulating out there that former President Donald J. Trump would say is a not-so-good laptop. Many listeners may be wondering what the punchline is here. Well, this portion of the update is not for you exactly, because you knew about this laptop since October of 2020. The FBI knew about it, and they were in possession of said laptop since December of 2019. However, today, some more people learned a reality we all knew, but they may not have been that aware of. The general public was shielded from the original story on social media networks after the FBI ran interference and had networks throttle the story back, as told by Mark Zuckerberg himself on his Joe Rogan Experience podcast appearance this past summer. The FBI agent specifically involved, Elvis Chan, will be deposed shortly in his part in creating a misinformation/Russian disinformation narrative around the story. And of course, he is also a donor to the Democrat candidates of the past. Wicked interesting. Well, yesterday evening, staunch CBS News followers got some interesting news. They emerged from their time capsule of fairy tales, narratives, and fake news to find out some breaking news. The laptop is real. It only took 769 days, over 2 years later. That is how long it took. That and a midterm election yielding a Republican Congress with announced investigations against President Biden using information from the laptop. And now they're ready. Why would they announce this right now? Well, stop me if I'm wrong. I believe they have to cultivate a narrative that this investigation is only happening because it's just now confirmed to be real information. Of course, if you have any intelligence, you would know it is because the midterm House takeover and the Republicans are going to research and investigate and bring hell upon all of the data that we've been sitting on and we couldn't do anything with. But the news can't say that. So my opinion is they would never have broke the story if the Democrats held the House. This is narrative weaving in real time. Sit back and interpret the news, and sometimes it all becomes clear and the game slows down. So yesterday, when CBS reported that they commissioned an independent forensic review to determine the authenticity of the laptop, many were probably just coming around to the reality that the laptop is in fact real and it's not some right-wing Russian disinformation. President Trump, while interviewing with 60 Minutes shortly after the New York Post broke the story of the laptop, stated Joe Biden is in the midst of a scandal, to which the network reporter stated, no, he's not. They refused to discuss it on air because, as per host Leslie Stahl, quote, this is 60 Minutes and we can't put on things we can't verify, end quote. Well, they have not verified it for 2 years because now they can't hide it anymore. So they have to verify it. So it's been 100% outright lies. When Trump mentioned the business dealings with Hunter leading up to the final presidential debate, reporters called it part of a foreign disinformation campaign. Sadly, the cover-up was a domestic misinformation campaign spearheaded by mainstream media, social media, and seems to be powered by the FBI. Hesher, what do you think?
Well, I don't know, man. What's next? Is the Ashley Biden diary going to get verified, or did the FBI go pick that up from Project Veritas to make sure that that never happens? I mean, they would have done themselves a much better favor in their chicanery and collusion if they would have just left that with Veritas, because Veritas wasn't going to do anything with it because they couldn't verify it. Go figure. Veritas, Project Veritas, actually uses some journalistic principles and integrity with the way that they operate. And they just got loud back on Twitter yesterday, so that's pretty interesting too. But back to the laptop here, back to Hunter's laptop. Were there any apologies laid out? Did any of the mass media cartels say, "Oh my gosh, it turns out this is verified, and we colluded with the FBI and with Mark Zuckerberg and with Twitter to make sure that nobody thought this was real or anything other than foreign disinformation when it mattered most," because it did matter the most just before Biden was elected. The timing couldn't have been worse. And they were able to just say, no, don't worry about this. There's nothing to see here. This is more Russian interference, even though they just, at that point had completed the Mueller investigation, which led to absolutely no evidence of this stuff. So here we are 2 years later, that many days, and I'm glad to see it's out there and verified now, but way too little, way too late. And what's it going to lead us to, John? It looks like it's going to lead us to another legal battle on Capitol Hill. We've got the House Republicans going after Biden, but almost within 24 hours, we saw another flurry of legal jargon going against Trump in the Mar-a-Lago thing. So it's just like, it's like impeachment warfare now happening or something like that.
It is. It's absolutely awful. I ran my own poll, since polls are very, very the it thing these days on Twitter. And with currently still ongoing, there's 342 votes. 96% of the people say Project Veritas coming back to Twitter is more important than CBS News being tweeting again, because they stopped tweeting in over the weekend because of risks on the platform, because Donald Trump was coming back, apparently. That was part of it. So 4% of the people that voted think that CBS News is a bigger win for journalism than Project Veritas. So it's showing at this point that independent news sources and non-conventional, these non-mainstream media outlets are the way that people are going. This is the quintessential definition that it took 2 years for them to say, yes, the laptop is real. And they acted like they did this whole, we got the information straight from the source, so no one could have interfered with it. Listen, the FBI has it. Everybody's known now for a long, long time that this is real. Do whatever you must, but like you said, a little too late. And when I say the game slows down, they always say when you come out of college and you're playing, and I know we're a worldwide broadcast, so I'll just say American football, that when you come out of college, you're throwing interceptions, you're doing bad, and by season two, season three, the game slows down. So if you start paying attention to the news starts to slow down, and you can see BS from a mile away. And these main networks are absolutely, they're criminal. It's a disgrace. It's criminal to be a news source and to make up narratives. It should be legitimately a criminal action. And at this point, it's just accepted. And it's the corporations that are paying the bills and the ads are going one way. And if they're woke, so are you. And it's just this big conglomerate of stupidity that we live in right now.
Yeah, it really is. And, this has been, this, this, this got codified into law under Obama when they changed the Smith-Mundt Act. We were already being propagandized and fed fake narratives, but when the Smith-Mundt Act was stricken or rewritten, I'm not sure what the proper wording is there, but it is no longer, well, I'll put it this way. It is now completely legal for the government and the government security services and corporate entities to use the mass media cartel. That's why I call them a cartel, because they function as a cartel and not as a set of journalists. But it allows them to lie to the American public, to push propaganda. And what is propaganda's number one and number two purposes, aside from selling you crap? It's getting you to approve of political and geopolitical initiatives and to take money from you, basically. So yeah. There you go. And to alter culture, you know, so, and that's totally legal for them to do now.
Yeah. And, you know, this has gone on to, and they want to know why there's so much discourse among citizens. It's gone on to the point where I broke my details of the Colorado shooting on Michael Parker's show last night. And, you know, not too long after, Tucker did the same exact piece and did the same exact references that I did. So I have to say one up on Tucker for that, because I beat him to the punch. But you know, there's a large amount of people right now on Twitter that have believed so much of the propaganda, and they just keep repeating the same stuff, that they think that the Colorado shooting happened because of accounts like Libs of TikTok that just repost videos. So we're in a very strange place where everyone just keeps pointing the finger at one another, and they don't want to do any of the actual research into what's going on and make the changes that need to for people to yet again get along.
Right. Yeah, I've been looking at that Colorado Springs shooting. Dodgy. If I had to use one word to describe the reporting on that, dodgy. Very dodgy. Yeah, and that's probably no a whole nother can of worms.
Yep. And still no motive as the last I've checked.
Yeah.
But the news has reported the news has reported that it is a hate crime already. Granted, it has the makings of one. But to go out there and create a whole narrative, and now the LGBTQ community is saying that it's right-wing extremism, hate crime spawned by libs of TikTok. We live in some crazy times, and there's just no evidence to any of it yet. And people are going around and judge, jury, and executioning.
Yep, pretty much. And then, you know, you compare that to, I don't know, the Daryl Brooks incident and case that just closed, or the young man that ran over 25 police recruits in Los Angeles. And the reporting is completely, completely different for things that don't fit the narratives that they're trying to push. So go figure. What does that tell us, folks? Read between the lines.
Yep.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much. Let's do it again tomorrow, man.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Okay, there he goes, everybody. That's John Matlin. Check out the John Matlin Show over here at Today's News Talk for more with John. And be sure and have a conversation with us on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room, tntradio.live. That's where that is. It's in the lower right corner. Great place to throw your opinion out there, because your opinion matters to us here at Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
NHS chiefs in Scotland are discussing having the wealthy pay for their own treatment. So if you're rich and you're Scottish, you'll be expected under Nicola Sturgeon's dictatorship to pay for your own treatment, despite the fact that you're already being taxed up to the hilt, and those taxes allegedly go towards the running and maintenance of the NHS. Let me tell you this, anyone that's sick these days that has a few pounds, or they have a few dollars in their pocket, they're trying to go private. If you're waiting on an NHS waiting list to be seen, to be screened, to be awaiting treatment, I'm not saying this is the case in every case, but it could be a death sentence. So if you're suffering chronic pain, you need a new hip, you have a suspicion that you might have cancer or so on and so forth, many, many people are going private anyway and paying for this. But you might be thinking, well, what's the big deal with the NHS? The fact is you're already paying for that treatment anyway through your taxes, but you're not actually getting the service.
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Freedom of speech. Freedom of movement. Freedom of choice. Freedom of assembly. Freedom of health. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. So, my next guest is known worldwide as America's psychiatrist. She is the host of Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com. and the Terrorist Therapist podcast. She's a forensic psychiatrist, an expert witness, best-selling award-winning author of 4 books, 2 on terrorism and 2 on relationships. And you have heard her on this show before. Dr. Carol Lieberman, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Thank you so much. It's good to be back. I'm pretty good. How can you be great with the world situation? But to the extent that I can be good, I am.
All right. Well, we do the best we can, and times are very strange lately, so I completely empathize. So let me read this. Here's a quote from you. We expected to be surfing a big red wave about now, but it turned out to be a low tide. We could give up, go back to bed, drink ourselves into oblivion, punch a Democrat in the nose, but none of these choices would get us anywhere, and we'd be worse off in 2024. So let's talk a little bit about the midterms here and the real ways to get over post-election blues, not, the psychobabble that we keep seeing out of the New York Times and such.
Yes. Well, the first thing is, of course, it's hard to do some of the typical things that one might do to relax. Everybody has their go-to things to make themselves a little happier, like mine is Rocky Road ice cream. you can't really just do meditation or listening to calming music or taking a walk or, things like that without really first facing what happened and figuring out what you are going to do, the action you're going to take to try to make things better in 2024. It's not just about not winning more seats. It's about realizing that between now and 2024, the world is going to continue to go in this decline. Well, America specifically is going to go in this decline. And that's very frustrating. That's very sad because we've seen what 2 years of the Obama-Biden administration is doing, has done. And now to think about another 2, it's very scary.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. Dr. Carol, the next 2 years, what is going to happen in the next 2 years, and what's going to happen to freedom of speech and Second Amendment rights and so many other things over the next 2 years? Because in the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of S-H-you-know-what-T. It's just been absolutely insane to see everything go down. The they call it hashtag the current thing, or hashtag this week's crisis. You know, it's just like one after another after another. And it seems like the emperor's wearing no clothes right now, because they're just openly doing fraud and racketeering and scam artistry and, you know, money laundering and war profiteering. And they're doing all this stuff right in our faces now. And it's like, you're a terrible person, a denier or a conspiracy theorist, if you point out the obvious that you're seeing in front of you.
Yes, yes. I know that that's really the worst part of it, that it used to be a little bit more surreptitious. And now they have the nerve to do these things, right? Not even trying to disguise it, just right in front of our faces. There are, we do, you know, one of the things I suggest is to look at, and especially since Thanksgiving is coming up, right? But to look at the things that we can be thankful for, the things that were positive, the gains that were positive, and so on. For example, Kevin McCarthy has been talking about, now I know he isn't officially elected yet, but I know that he has said that he is going to start every morning at the House but with a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. And certainly, you know, I think that's really important, because it sets the day, it sets the tone for what people should be thinking of, you know, about bringing back America the way it was, you know, in its in the things that make America great, the things that, you know, really made America, constitute America. And so he also talked about kicking Ilhan Omar off the Foreign Affairs Committee because of her being so anti-Semitic. That would be great. Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff, kicking them off the Intel Committee, which would be great. You know, part of it also is that it's not just about how many Republicans get voted in. It's about how many Republicans are already rhinos, Republicans in name only, Republicans who don't vote, you know, in the House and the Senate, don't vote along Republican lines, kind of shocking sorts of things where they, there was something just recently, where there are always things where they vote with Democrats for things that are so harmful to this country. It's really just shocking. So I think people need to be careful, not just, I mean, if someone is a Republican and they want to see a Republican in office, whatever office it is, they need to be careful to make sure that it's not someone who is disguising themselves as a Republican, and really they're going to vote a different way.
Yeah, we got to hold the rhinos accountable at this point, and the larger GOP. The larger GOP has missed a lot of open goals here. It's almost like they're throwing the match, if you will. But let me take a quick headline here, and we'll come right back and pick up where we left off with Dr. Carol Lieberman here on today's News Talk.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Rights groups in Iran say security forces have killed a dozen people in the last 24 hours in a crackdown on demonstrators in Kurdish-populated regions. Millions of Ukrainians are most likely to live with blackouts until the end of March, as workers are rushing to complete repairs before the winter cold arrives. The Associated Press has fired a journalist for the incorrect claim that Russia fired a missile that struck Polish territory, killing two people.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I'm with America's psychiatrist, the host of Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com, and the host of the Terrorist Therapist podcast. And before the break there, we're talking a little bit about the midterms and a little bit about where this is all headed. And we just brought up the rhino factor. and rhinos voting with Democrats. I find this part particularly a little bit troubling this midterm season, Dr. Carroll, because the conservatives took the House. Pleased to see some of those things that you just pointed out. Also, we would be remiss to not say na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye to Nancy Pelosi, who has stepped down from her position. That's great news. I was happy to finally see that happen. But going back to where this all leads, the Senate did not come out the way we thought it would at all, and just one, maybe even just one or two rhinos inside of those Senate halls could really cause some problems for things like First and Second Amendment and many other legislative things. So what do you think about that? Like, we had a little bit of a win in the House, but now the Senate is looking very dodgy.
Yes. I mean, you know, it is a good thing to echo what you were saying about Nancy Pelosi. You know, I think it might be a coincidence, but and I know that it was there were lots of factors here, but I think she resigned before, you know, Trump made his announcement that he's going to run in 2024. And he made a comment about Nancy Pelosi that she's fired. So before she heard it louder and clearer, you're fired, she just resigned. But, you know, there is a danger there because this man who seems to be in the lead for, or at least he thinks he is, to replace her is worse than Nancy Pelosi. So I hope that doesn't happen.
Right. I know that's always one of the saddest things. You know, I was talking in one of the chat rooms the other night. We were talking about, you know, what if this person left this position or this world leader left that position? And it's like almost every time you look at that, you think, yeah, it would be nice to see that person gone. But then you see the next person in line and it's like, oh my gosh, yeah. Wow. I don't even know if I want. I'm praying for Biden's health right now because I don't want to see a President Harris.
Well, I know. And she, I know, of course, that would be worse. But and then, of course, it used to be, well, and then if somehow she could be gotten rid of, then it's Nancy Pelosi and she would be worse. But and now it might be this other guy whose name I refuse to remember.
There you go.
I refuse to keep him in my consciousness. But anyhow, hopefully something will happen there. There's no question that we have to start. One of the things that we have to figure out. Oh, but wait, before we go from the rhino topic, the biggest rhino, and this still gets under my craw. Well, it's getting under my craw more now because he's been, making noises about how he wants to run for 2024. And that's Pence. The biggest rhino is Pence, because not necessarily in regard to his voting, but in regard, well, he wasn't really voting, but I mean, in regard to what he did in not asking for recounts in some of the states and so on. And of course, I knew, you knew, I'm sure, everybody knew that he was doing that, not asking for recounts because he wanted to run in 2024. And now, of course, he has admitted that. I mean, he hasn't admitted that that was why he didn't do it, ask for recounts and so on. But he is now saying that he does want to run for president. I mean, I think he doesn't stand a chance in hell. But still, you know, that's very disappointing to think that one man's self-interest could have made such an impact on America.
Yeah, I agree. Pence has no chance. I think that is just a giant waste of his and our and the media's time. But hey, go for it. But it is funny to see that sort of that moment come, whether it's, you know, a year later, 2 years later, something like that, where you see someone like him and you think back and say, oh, okay, so you did have political goals. And I can't help but wonder if a little bit of a deal was struck at a certain point to, mm-hmm. you know, facilitate your political goals.
Yes. Well, who do you think who are you thinking the deal might have been struck with?
It's hard to say when you're peering into the swamp as a normal plebeian out here. You know, the swamp is vast and far away and deep, but you know, to use a sort of a trope, I guess these days, I would say something in the deep state, whatever that machinery was that led to the military's not backing Trump when, by all estimations, we were basically looking at a stolen election and a coup and a reverse psychological operation to make the public think that there was some sort of Trumpian insurrection happening, when in all reality, what that appears to be is basically a Fed information operation and a cover up for an actual election steal. At least that's what I'm thinking that was.
Yes, I agree with you. And so one of the things, that's where I was going to go next, that one of the things that has to be fixed before 2024 is the way we vote. How, you know, from ballots that get misplaced or extra ballots that somehow appear, or machines that don't work. I mean, I think it's great that Carrie Lake is refusing to concede and is questioning the voting process in Arizona. You know, I think if more people would stand up like that when there's something obvious that was awry, you know, I think if someone else would stand up sooner, in other words, like in 2020, yes, of course, there were questions afterwards, but you know, but when you wait too long, I mean, then it was the judges and then they couldn't find, so supposedly couldn't find evidence and all that. But you know, if you put your foot down right after the election, closer to the time of the election, I think it would be easier to find what these mishaps were.
I agree. And before you came on, when I opened this hour, I kind of went through a list. You know, I was talking about whether I think a red wave can ever happen again, or if we're stuck in like a captured one party system. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the politicians and the media think that the population is stupid. They think, and maybe they're right, I don't know, but I think that, you know, the way that they've operated over the last two elections is going to make a lot of people want to not be stupid, or at least learn to, you know, understand the context of the vote that we're dealing with here. And they think that people can't do the legal, political, and journalistic critical thinking for themselves. And I was pointing out that is not an easy task, but it's also not a hard task, because basically it means you have to read, listen, and watch everything you can, and you have to understand how DNC and RNC lawyers use lawfare, and how mail-in ballots play into this, and dirty registries, and ballot stuffing and harvesting, and this concept of the V drive. A lot of people don't know this, but in the machines that are used, there's the vote, if you will, quote unquote, the vote, the official vote, when it's digital, is stored on something called a V drive. And they've lost these V drives in multiple places. We've got evidence of that having happened in Delaware County. And then they magically reappear. So that's a big problem. They're not doing logic tests on the computers. They have cybersecurity issues. We've got dead voters on the records. We've got dead candidates on there, dead people voting in dead people. I mean, that's really kind of where we're, that says a lot about the vulnerabilities of the system, doesn't it? You know, and then we've got the big problem here, Dr. Carroll, that I'm seeing is that all those things need to be understood. First of all, like you're saying, it's important for people to understand what happened. And from the people that I've spoken to, it's my understanding now that we're in a bit of a situation, because in the battleground states, in the largest counties of the battleground states, it seems to be the situation that the county recorder, the DA, and the judge, the circuit judge, and then this legion of lawyers all seem to be activists. They all seem to be partisan activists. And those are the people that you need to go through and to show illegal voting to. And I've spoken with Leah Hoops and Gregory Stenstrom. Leah is a poll watcher in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and Gregory is a fraud expert and a cybersecurity expert. And they've exposed how this is, all those things I just rattled off were happening. And the DA there won't see any of it. The DA refuses to look at their evidence. They've put cases in. They've got over 90 pieces of evidence that these things have happened. And the DAs will say there's no evidence of this and refuse to even look at their evidence. And then the only knock on the door they do get is from federal agents asking them if they're involved in J6. So, I mean, that's a pretty big mess. What do you think about that whole state of affairs?
Yes. I actually had them on my radio show, and yes, well, first of all, I think they're very brave, you know, to speak out like that and to spend so much time and energy trying to prove this and all that. I mean, that's so important. Yeah, you know, there were, I mean, you know, it's still a little mind-boggling, though, that somehow, like, why were we need to take, by we, I mean, I guess, Republicans or just anybody who cares about the honesty of American elections. Why were we asleep? Like, how did this happen that all the people in these positions are activists and, you know, want the vote to go a certain way? Why didn't we see this beforehand and stop it? I mean, you know, you could say that about a lot of things, of course. You know, why didn't we stop all the teachers coming into the schools who are progressive and teaching CRT and teaching, telling kids to become trans and all that? And why didn't we, you know, how did all the DAs become progressive DAs get in there and they're letting people out? You know, they're barely setting foot in jail. Like in California, I don't know if you heard about this. You probably did. I'm sure you're up on everything in the news. But just recently, a man shot 25 sheriff recruits, and he was just let out of jail. Like, he hardly set foot in jail and he was let out. I mean,
he ran him over with his car.
He ran them over, right? I didn't
mean
shot.
Yeah, he mowed him down. Yep.
Right. Now, what more do you have to do to get into jail than that?
Isn't it amazing? And isn't it amazing that they just spent the last 2 years radicalizing the people in racial and class warfare, basically information warfare against the police? And that now you see a case where a 22-year-old goes and runs down a whole set of police cadets while they're out doing their physical training. They're doing their PT, they're running in formation, and he accelerates into a whole group of them. And there's no, you know, there's no indication of a motive. They're slow walking it, basically, so as to not, you know, change, like, corrupt a potential jury pool by putting a narrative out there. But then you look at the Colorado Springs shooting, you look at the Paul Pelosi incident. Within an hour of those stories breaking, they've got people telling you that it's a hate crime, people telling you it's, you know, motivated by politics and this and that. And it's like, well, which is it, you guys? Are we looking to give people fair trials and give the public and, you know, an honest, you know, report, you know, police report and whatnot? No, they do these things completely differently. And it's said that this guy that ran the all the police cadets over, that he might be from a law enforcement related family. And all of a sudden he's got a DA, not a DA, but he's got a private lawyer who is a worshiper of George Gascon, like just a George Gascon acolyte, basically. And Gascon is one of these guys that's just letting rapists and murderers and drug dealers out, you know, with no cash bail and stuff like that. But then when something like this happens, you know, is he doing a favor for people? Is that why, you know, this isn't being elevated into the media in the same, you know, bombastic manner as like a Paul Pelosi story or, you know, Daryl Brooks. You know, it's like when the narrative doesn't fit, they don't push it. But when it does, they push it so hard, it you know, collapses society a little bit more.
Yes, yes. I know there have been, I mean, New York is another example of like every day there's someone doing horrible things and they just keep being let out. And it's just like people have 19, 20, 20, you know, many arrests, like, and they do a crime and then it's found out that they have all these other previous arrests for which they didn't get any punishment. I mean, it's, of course, we know it's all part of the plan to make chaos in America so that a socialist system can be implemented here. But in the meantime, people are getting killed. And it's just, I mean, so the election problem is part of, and a very important part of, but part of this whole scheme of things. I mean, of course, it's the one thing that we can try. I mean, it's perhaps the most important thing that we should do something about because that could change all the other things. But are there people working on? I mean, besides the two you mentioned, are there people? I hope there are people working on it in various states, trying to get to the bottom of the different problems in the election system.
Yeah, me too. You know, that's why I keep bringing it up. I'm sort of using a mainstream media tactic by just keep applying pressure to this. It's important to me, you know, now that I feel, because I've been, you know, very salty. I've been very salty about the vote in America for a good decade now, because I started seeing rumblings of this back on black box voting back in I was excited about Ron Paul in the 2012 elections. I thought, you know, that Ron Paul really kind of brought me back into having an interest in power politics, because, you know, the Ron Paul platform makes sense. It makes sense to people all across platforms. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't even have the Ron Paul platform and methodology is the kind of thing that classic liberals, libertarians, center right, center left, independents, and conservatives can get behind. Like, really, the only people that can't get behind that sort of platform are, you know, Marxists, basically. So to me, that was a big deal. And then when I saw the way that his delegates were treated, you know, people were locked out of nomination rooms and stuff like that. Delegates locked out. The media totally downplayed his popularity. He was wildly, wildly popular on college campuses, and that had to be stopped. That definitely had to be stopped. And now you look at college campuses and it's like, you know, you can't even hardly visit a college campus anymore unless you're a woke speaker. And if you're, you know, someone that's talking outside of that swim lane, then you better bring security with you, because may get attacked. So, you know, it's like, but the media has just done everything they can to make it such that we just don't have that anymore. But I think that, you know, there are people out there that are looking into this, not just Greg and Leah. There's a number of people. Look, there's a whole Fulton County, Georgia audit going on. And the thing that really bugs me is this stuff was all noted and documented in 2020. And it still hasn't gone anywhere. And it's the same stuff still happening. So it's like, how do we make that not happen in 2024, especially when we know which positions now are so important? And again, that's why I keep saying it, the county recorder, the DA, the lawyers that work for the DNC and the RNC all need to be looked at. And then you've got the Secretary of State. Look at Katie Hobbs in Arizona. She didn't even campaign. And she's in charge of the way that vote centralization can be systemically, you know, set up in their township, in their county, in their state. And that just gives her the ability to not even, you know, campaign against a wildly, wildly popular Republican candidate that came from the grassroots, who had a career. We see so many career politicians who've never had an actual career. But Carrie had a wonderful career, you know, and she knows what she's talking about. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me that we allow this to happen, that we allow the states to allow the DNC to come in there and set up a firewall in the legal and political system via that county recorder, that secretary of state, that DA, and then the judges, and then all the lawyers. It's like they're all politically influenced, and they make it such that no investigation can come up and the grievance be addressed, and then even criminal files be charged so that people are held responsible for this, so that this behavior can't continue, so that we can have the vote back.
Yes, they should be charged criminally. Absolutely. I think if that started happening, you know, people would be a little more hesitant to participate in it. I mean, that should be one of the top priorities between now and 2024, to try to make sure that we don't have the funny business. What do you think? What did you think about, or what do you think? I was going to say, what did you think about Trump's announcement the other night? And what do you think about him announcing it at this particular time?
I'm honestly not surprised. I've been expecting it. And I'm a little bit ambivalent and confused and excited, I guess. I have kind of a mixed bag of feelings about it. On the one hand, I'm trying to understand and make sense of the strategy of the overall GOP, because even before midterms happened, we started seeing this this like bifurcation in the GOP, where it was like you've got your establishment Republicans versus your sort of America First Republicans, and they're kind of butting heads, you know. And I think. It almost feels a little bit contrived there, and that's just a vibe. It's, you know, I don't really know that it is or isn't. I'm just wondering if there's some sort of contrived nature to that, and how that may have affected the way that the voting went down this time. Because we talk about corrupt counties and states, but that doesn't mean it's corrupt across the board. They have to have it, you know, functioning in some places so that, you know, people making claims like me can there's some plausible deniability left in the air, you know, in the room. But I wonder how that plays in, you know, that like we now have sort of a populist segment of the GOP, and then the establishment segment, which has all the rhinos in it and the people that aren't supporting their candidates and standing up against the kind of
easy. We just get rid of those.
Right. Exactly.
they can't be Republicans.
Exactly. So back to Trump, like how does Trump play into that? And then my concern is that we're just going to be mired in endless impeachment trials and endless collusion trials. And it's all going to be that's what's going to be focused on. That's my concern.
Yes. Well, I mean, I looked at it too. Wait, first of all, I thought he gave a very good speech, because it wasn't the Trump that, you know, I know some people said that it was too low key or whatever, but it wasn't the Trump that some people don't like, you know, where he just is very like at his rallies, which is fine at his rallies. But, you know, so he was much more, he was calmer and more deliberate and talked about issues and how he was going to tackle them and so on. I thought it was great. The only thing, that I thought, and the timing, you know, it kind of cheered up. It made Republicans feel things weren't hopeless. But the only thing is though that it gives his enemies more time to do what you were just saying, like to have impeachments and all kinds of other things. By his announcing it this soon, he gave the enemies more time to you know, to try to mount things against him. But my dream team is Trump for 2024, is Trump for president and DeSantis for vice president, because then DeSantis would have the 4 years as vice president, and then he would run for president and get 8 more years. And so it would be 12 years of someone who could run this country well. That's my dream team.
All right. Okay. Now, you know what? That actually makes the whole bifurcation and Trump de-sanctimonious spat make a little bit more sense, because, you know, the way I've been looking at it, it's like, okay, if they're going to pit even Trump and DeSantis against each other. Like, if they're going to, you know, have two sort of, you know, primary people as the, you know, in fighters, I would not have picked them. But if you pick them as the infighters and then they team up, that would create a I could see that actually explaining that contrived whiff that I'm getting of the DeSantis Trump fight. Like, if they could spat for a year and a half and then team up and build a platform that actually has action items on it that would appeal to, you know, more Americans than just the MAGA Americans, if you will, you know, try to pull some of that rhino establishment GOP crowd into this newer thing. Yes. That could be a beautiful thing. I don't know. That's got potential, Dr. Carol.
Yes. They just need to sort of have a little, I think it's definitely possible if they, I mean, I know they've been, you know, Trump has been saying bad things about DeSantis and so on, but they both care about the country more than they care about, you know, their own, like, fighting with each other.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Carol. Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com and the Terrorist Therapist Podcast. She'll be back again soon, I'm sure. Thank you, Dr. Carol. We're going to go to headlines, everybody. See you on the other side.